Hello, you're listening to I'm Not That Old, Lady, and welcome. I'm Teresa Sayers. I live on a farm in Minnesota, USA. And I will try to figure out why we are so obsessed with age and aging. Be advised, some language may not be appropriate for all listeners. There may be some profanity that is not beeped out.
Oswald Vargas is a licensed marriage and family therapist practicing in California. He has 10 years' experience in individual and family counseling. Oz, as he's known to his friends, has generously agreed to give us insight into why we feel as we do. I think you'll easily understand why I am so thrilled to add his expertise to the podcast. Here he is.
This podcast is for informational purposes only. You should seek your own professional counseling advice if you feel the need.
This call is being recorded.
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
You are.
Oh, for some reason. Oh, my gosh. I am technologically challenged at times. Oh, gosh.
Oh.
Hi. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
I'm okay. I am, but I am okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day here today. Absolutely gorgeous. 50s,
nice.
Dry, sun's out. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Wait, what was the temperature?
Like 50s. It's like probably
okay.
Mid to high 50s, which is
okay.
Perfect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, nice, nice. We're in the mid 70s over here.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, so it started a little bit chilly, but we're in the mid-70s now.
Yeah.
So that's the thing about, in Southern California, you have to dress up in layers.
Mm.
So when I left the house this morning to go to the barn, you know, I had my shirt and jacket on. It was a little bit cold, but I had to keep telling myself, like, it's going to warm up later. And sure enough, like, at 10 o'clock, I had to get rid of the jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that is nice.
We're being joined today by a giant black Labrador who probably won't say anything, but she's snuggling.
Oh. So the puppies haven't been picked up yet, have they?
No. Next weekend, we have three of them going to their homes. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be an adjustment for her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she likes playing with them. She gets, you know, she kind of romps around with them several times
mm-hmm.
a day when they come out for exercise. And today we had them out
mm-hmm.
in the outdoor kennel, and they were running around for, 45 minutes. And then they promptly came inside and had a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're doing really good.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, what's new? Other than the puppies, the kitten is all bounced back.
Oh yeah, the kitten is definitely he has bounced back. He's the rambunctious
mm-hmm.
one of the two and the attacker, and Tango is the one like,
mm-hmm.
oh golly, you again? Come on, get off me! And they wrestle and yeah, and then Dolce is doing really well, and I'm still healthy, and my husband's still healthy, and still working, and. You know,
mm-hmm.
there isn't a whole lot to complain about. There really isn't.
Oh.
Then
yeah.
I am exhausted. I am just so tired.
Are you?
Golly. Oh.
You're ready to slow things down?
I am. You know, and it's, you know, we don't really have spring in Minnesota. It kind of goes from, well, we're lucky if we have a couple of days of today, you know, how it is today. Otherwise, it could be
uh-huh.
snowing and then the next day it could be 80, and the next day it could be horizontal rain and 30 degrees, and then the next day it could be 80, and then all of a sudden, poof, it's summer. And, ugh, yeah.
So, you know, forgive my ignorance. Is Minnesota on the coast?
No. Minnesota is up by Canada. We do have a coast. We have one of the largest inland seas because we're part of the Great Lakes. And Lake Superior is borders on Minnesota and Wisconsin and Canada. And Lake Superior can be seen from space. It's that big. It's got the most fresh water in the world, I think, because it's so deep. I don't know. But, yeah, it's a pretty big lake. So that's kind of our inland sea. That's kind of our shoreline, as rocky as it is. And we have a few lakes, too. But, yeah, Minnesota is in the middle of the continent, and it gets hot and it gets cold.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we have the Pacific Ocean.
Yes,
and
we do.
And we get to enjoy the cold water. Because if people don't realize that you have to wear a jacket to the coast for the evening.
Yeah, you go. Right, it's cold.
During the day, it's amazing, but in the evening, when it gets, you know, afternoon, it gets cold.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been to the West Coast. I've down by Orange County, I think, or I don't know. I flew into John Wayne Airport, so I don't know where that is. That's south.
Yeah, that's Orange County.
And had a wonderful dinner right on the beach, and they had these giant butane or LP heaters everywhere because everybody was freezing, and I was like, man, this is really nice. It's just like,
right,
oh,
for you.
Perfect.
You were,
yeah,
you were perfect.
Me.
You were solid.
But, you know, everyone's got their shawls on and their coats, and they're freezing, and they're huddling up to the big heaters, and I'm just like, oh, this is gorgeous. I like this.
Well, I told you, anything under 70 for us, we're cold.
Oh, my gosh.
Where's fall that way?
Well, I ran a bunch of errands today, and it was, you know, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's a sad thing, but you know, we Minnesotans, we have shorts on and flip flops and short sleeve shirts, and it's 50 degrees out, and we've got our white legs hanging out. And if you see this big glow up north, it's all the Minnesotans with their bare legs and bare
arms.
That's
funny. That's funny. Must have been like 20 years ago, I went to Nashville, Tennessee for school. You know, we got to meet up with people from all over the U.S. It was a convention that we went
cool.
to. And you know, in my school, it's a mix, Hispanics, you know, white people and African-Americans. So it's a mix. But in my group, my degree, it's mainly white people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was me. So, you know, so we went, I was part of this marketing team, and we went to compete. And I'll never forget, we went to, you know, we were meeting with all the schools and hanging out with them. And one of the guys, I think he must have been from Wisconsin, I think. He comes to me, he goes, so are you the only one from California? And I'm looking at him like, huh? I goes, actually, no, I'm not the only, I'm the only one not born in California, actually. He goes, well, don't you guys have a tan all year long? Like, that perception that people have. Well, people from Southern California, they think, like, you know, that everybody lives by the beach, that everybody serves. And everybody has a tan year long. I mean, don't get me wrong, you can if you want to, you just pay for it.
Right.
That was hilarious. I found that I'm like, no.
We should have asked him if he was the only one that would, you know, like drink beer at 9 o'clock in the morning and then go ice fishing. You know,
right? that's what they do, I guess. That was funny.
I know a lot of people that do that. Yeah.
I know to the rest of the country and the world, like people from. We're from California, especially Southern California. We don't have the best reputation. Yeah.
really. Well,
people think, yeah, because then there was another group of girls, me and my buddy, we were just hanging out with them, and they go like, oh, it's so cool that you're hanging out with us. And I'm like, why wouldn't we hang out with you guys? You guys are pretty awesome. And they're like, whoa, you guys are always surrounded by models and, you know, all these beautiful girls in California. I was like, what? I mean, don't get me wrong. We have tons of beautiful women, but what you see on TV is not, you know. I imagine that this is like 20 years ago. Yeah,
oh,
20 years ago. So people have a very distorted idea.
Yeah.
Of, you know, of Southern California, I guess.
Because when I went there, I've been there many times, actually. And then Northern California, too, which is gorgeous. And, you know, everybody thinks it's going to be like a celebrity around every corner and all that stuff. And,
right.
You know, I didn't see that. I thought it was a really weird vibe. It was a very different vibe for me in Orange County when I was down there. And it was just like, what is so different? And it's the sea, it's the angle of the light, it's the whole attitude is just completely different than the Midwest. And, you know, I've been here a long time, so I'm pretty ingrained in the Midwest. But yeah, I mean, it was nice.
Even in Southern California, there is so many different cultures. Like you have, you know, the beach culture. And that's a whole different world in England, you know, people that live in the suburbs. And then you have the people that live by like the, you know, by the river, for example, or they like to in the desert. Those are very different cultures.
Sure.
You know, but everybody's from Southern California.
No.
You know, and then you have the city people that in downtown LA.
Ugh.
That's a whole nother culture.
Right. It would be.
Yeah.
Well, and the same in Minnesota, because if you've ever seen the movie Fargo and how they talk, you know, don't you know? They do speak like that in northern Minnesota. The further north you go, the more they sound like the movie Fargo. And it's hilarious. But not everywhere.
Okay.
But it is. When you get closer to the Twin Cities, it's just a Midwestern accent. Yes, we have an accent.
Gotcha.
I know how it is.
Gotcha.
But anyway. Yes, I think people should travel more and experience all different cultures and find out more about the world we live in. I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
I think it would help with a lot of what's going on in the world today if we did travel more. And I think that's kind of my subject today.
Yeah, people are afraid of what they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. So what do you have in mind? What's in your mind there?
I am just so exhausted. I have a whole bunch of Labradors in my house, but I don't think it's just that. I think it's a year of emotional exercising. You know, it's like we've been running a marathon for a year, and after a while your brain just says, oh my God, enough, just stop. You need to rest. And we can't rest because we can't leave. We have the news. We have this political stuff. We have all this social unrest, especially here in Minnesota. Thank you to it's, you know, not just George Floyd now.
Oh, yeah, I just saw that, right? That it just happened. It's something, I mean, I haven't kept up with the news, but something happened, right, the last few days?
Another police shooting last Sunday.
Okay.
And Dante Wright was the person that was killed and by a police officer. And it's very controversial. And there's a lot of emotion on both sides, just like on the George Floyd case, which is international. And Dante Wright is going to be international too. And there's just a lot of emotion. And I sit here on my farm, 30 miles away from all that. And I'm just like, man, you cannot help but get swept up in it. And honestly, Oz, I really don't know what to think. I'm not a cop. I've never trained to be a cop. I've never been in that situation. Yeah. I don't carry a gun for a living. So I cannot judge these people. I just cannot. And I've never been black. And I've never been a black man. And I've never grown up in the whole society that black people in general have had to for the past 400 years. So I just, I don't know. And I'm exhausted because I'm thinking, you know, what do I do? What do I say? What do I think? What how do I comfort them?
So you're right. I mean, so that brings up a very good point, right? That you don't, and then you're learning this, that you don't have to be, you know, what we're seeing right now is kind of like a vicarious trauma. That even though we're not living it, even though for you, you're saying, okay, I cannot relate to a police officer, right? I cannot relate to a black man because I'm neither, right? But that doesn't mean you're not affected by it.
Correct.
And I think that's what, you know, and that's what I think a lot of people are having a hard time with, and it's catching a lot of people by surprise.
Vicarious trauma?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Vicarious trauma means that just because you're around there, you're exposed to it, even though you're not affected directly, you're still suffering the traumatic. Again, everybody's experience is going to be different. You know, we're never going to be able to say like, oh, I know what they're going through. No, we don't. Right.
Correct.
And even every black man individually won't be able to relate, but they can relate to in the level that, okay, we're black. And we know in that level, right? But every case is unique. But that doesn't mean that the rest of the world is not affected by it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
With a pandemic, even if you didn't have anybody close to you, right, died or whatnot, but that doesn't mean that you're not affected by what you're seeing every day.
Right, yeah, I feel that.
And that's why I think now more than ever we're seeing that what you expose yourself to. I stopped watching the news over a year ago. And I think, and maybe not even less, I didn't realize, eventually I realized what it was doing to me. Like, I think we talked about it before when we were talking about the election and everything, or the, you know, uneasiness.
Yeah.
And just watching that every day, it just took a toll on me. I just couldn't deal with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I put my head in the sand. By just watching it every day, it does affect. You know, people think like what you see on TV doesn't affect you. If that was true, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do companies pay millions of dollars for a 30-second commercial?
Yes.
Right. If we are not influenced by what we see, why would these companies spend so much money?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get in front of us.
Yeah.
So we are. We are influenced in some level. And the problem is that we're not even aware. That we're being influenced because it's showing.
It's just a slow grind. It's just a grind down. And you don't even realize how much you're being ground down until all of a sudden.
I'm fine. You know, I have a job. Yeah. I'm healthy. Nobody close to me died, right? So the conversation that I'm having a lot with people is like, why do I feel this way when everything else is fine with me? You know, I have a job, I have my family, I'm healthy, so why do I feel this way? That's why a lot of people are having a hard time making sense of it. Okay? And it's called emotional burnout.
Yeah.
Emotionally, we're burned out. Because nothing prepared us for this. And people go through a crisis, okay, and then you deal with a crisis, and then you go back to quote-unquote normal life. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're exposed to something like this for extended periods of time, it hits you differently.
Yeah. But it sure does.
And that's what we're seeing right now. And guess what? People were not ready. We didn't have the coping mechanisms, coping skills. You know, I deal with addiction a lot, with a lot of clients with addiction. And, you know, all the resources that they had, they were more like they had to go places, so they had meetings and all that. When that went away, a lot of them crashed because they didn't have any other outlets.
Mm.
One thing that I noticed, what happens is there used to be that balance. Even if things were bad at home, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or things were not going well, people had outlets. You know, you went out with your friends, right? You went out to the movies, you went out to events, concerts, right? So people found there was a balance.
Yeah.
School, mm-hmm. right. So there was a balance, correct? Even though things were not well, you know, things were rough, but you had the other something else to counteract that.
Right, right.
Well, all that stuff that we used to counteract that got taken away. So now we were left sitting there, just taking all these hits, all these emotional hits.
Right.
Left and right.
Oh, and it feels like it. Golly.
So and here's the kicker, though. Why do you think it's becoming more obvious now? Like, we've been going through this pandemic for a whole year, literally been over a year now. Why do you think it's hitting more now? Why we didn't see it more back in, I don't know, back in August or September of last year? I'm not saying that it wasn't. There was some people with stress, right? But why do you think we're seeing it more now, a year later?
Well, honestly, I've thought about this, and I think, well, this can't last forever. I mean, this can't be that big of a deal. I mean, it was denial. On my part,
okay.
It was denial because I thought,
okay.
Oh, you know, a couple of weeks and we'll be done. All right, a couple of months and we'll be done with this. What do you mean people are dying by droves? Okay, well this might be serious. And, oh, yeah, we have to wear a mask now. Okay, this might be really serious. But, you know, it can't be forever. This cannot fundamentally change our whole society around the world. Can it? And then
okay.
It's like, oh, yeah, it can. And then you're like going through the grief of, well, I just want everything to go back to normal. It'll never be normal again, ever.
Okay. Uh-huh. So.
And now
the realization is hitting. You're on the right track. You're saying that people were saying, I cannot wait to go back to normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of kept us going. With that in idea, saying, like, I just have to write this out, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
Eventually I'll go back to normal. But I think one of the reasons is because once people realize that we're never going to go back to normal, that normal
yeah.
as we knew it is never going to be like that. I think that's when people was like, wait a minute, okay, now, right? Now it's hitting people.
Yep.
Realizing that,
yep.
okay, my life as I knew it is never going to be the same. So that's one reason, okay? But another reason what is happening is this. Your brain can only process so much. When you're in the middle of chaos, your brain is in survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have to stay alive in that moment. Your brain doesn't really have time to process feelings, emotions, nothing. You're there to you do what you got to do in that moment. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But it's not until things settle down. Once your brain finally goes, okay, we're out of the danger zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like my brain gets out of survival mode, right? I can just, I don't have to work, I don't have to fear for my life, let's say that. Now it's time to process all those feelings that I've been putting away. And that's when it hits you, like a ton of brain.
Oh.
We see that in grieving, where a lot of people stay in denial for a little while, and then they don't start grieving, going through the process until years later.
Mm-hmm.
Because they
mm-hmm.
couldn't handle it at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now that in some sort of way, we're kind of going back to, you know, people going back to school, kids are going back to school, right? We are
mm-hmm.
regaining some level of normalcy, right? Or what it used to be. I think now people are finally dealing with their emotions.
Yeah.
And that's why it's hitting us. And so it's
yeah.
so aware we are emotionally burnt out.
Collectively, as a society, I believe you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then all this other stuff on top of it, you know, the police
yeah.
activity and men
yeah.
dying.
Yeah, well, that's bad. Sure.
Oh, my gosh. It's just insane.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's
so
not
again,
just me that's exhausted.
No, that's are you kidding me? You and me both. And
yeah.
and you know, for me, I had to find that balance. But because of the nature of my job, you know, for the last year, that's all I heard. That's all I heard, right? People going through it, trauma and whatnot. That's all I heard. But the reason why it hit me so hard for me was because I didn't have nothing to counter. Or not like I didn't have anything, but it wasn't like it used to. Before, you know, I saw my clients, but then I had my other, you know, my life with my family. I went out, right? Did things mm-hmm. and did something that it wasn't, had nothing to do with dealing with trauma. But for a year, that went away. You know, I didn't see my friends or my family for a long time, obviously, for obvious reasons. So I didn't have anything mm-hmm. to counter. One of the things that they said, and they went back to, people misunderstood when they say, you know, you have to stay away from people. When the first pandemic happened, right? When the first mm-hmm. when it first hit, like you know, but that didn't mean disconnect from people. And that's where people went wrong. Just because, mm-hmm. so, but again, we are being social creatures. We're used to, let's hang out, you know, let's go, let's get together. Let's get together, right? Somebody's mm-hmm. house or visit. When that went away, a lot of people didn't develop other ways to stay connected. All we started, we rely on social media to check up on people, right? But mm-hmm. technology is still very new to a lot of us, and we didn't know how to use Zoom meetings or other technologies, right?
Right.
So we lost that human contact. When we lose that human contact, that went one of our resources to keep our sanity.
Mm.
So we started disconnecting from people.
Mm.
So I'm not okay with what a lot of people did. You know, people started gathering together and going to, you know, events and whatnot. Obviously, I'm not okay with it because obviously it helped continue this mess, right? This pandemic. But I understand.
Yeah.
And I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I understand what they did because they needed it for their own sanity.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Need to have that human connection. I totally understand it. Unfortunately, that's not what we needed. Because it only mm-hmm. continued to propagate, you know, this virus.
And I think a lot of people just don't care anymore. They're just like, God, I'm done.
Well, because you're tired. At some point, mm-hmm. you're like, you know what? Then you start rationalizing, you go, oh, I'm going to die anyways, and this and that. And people rationalize it all in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm not saying nobody was ready, but most people were not ready to do
I
that.
I certainly was not. I mean,
right.
I thought it'd be 2 weeks and we'd be out of here, you know, it'd be done. Honest
right.
to God, I thought,
but
oh,
I
two
think,
weeks.
I think what I'm saying is no people were not ready to deal with the emotional toll that it was going to take on.
Oh, yeah, I certainly was not. No, I wasn't.
That right. Yeah.
And, of course, I'm in complete denial until all of a sudden
mm-hmm.
it's like, golly, I am just exhausted. And then
right.
you know, all of this stuff on top of it, plus puppies, plus kittens, plus, oh, my gosh. And
and that's where our people, when it comes to emotional burnout, it's a lot of people don't understand that concept, you know. Most people think like, no, I have to, you know, I have to keep moving, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because people don't understand that, or people go through with suffering from depression for years, don't even realize it, you know. but we're seeing more anxiety and depression. It's because, you know, as people are more comfortable saying it out loud, like I'm struggling with it,
mm-hmm.
and. Unfortunately, that's how people, you know, they start developing drinking more and they just start using drugs more because they just, it's not a nice feeling. And they don't want to feel that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they do things. Of course, sometimes they get in trouble.
I just want to sleep. I just want
yeah,
eight
right.
eight to 10 hours. of uninterrupted
right.
sleep.
Right. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it feels like you can never catch up on your sleep.
Right.
Even if you sleep and you know, you think, okay, I slept my 8 hours or whatever time you slept with, but you still wake up tired.
I am. I'm tired. I get to work and I'm just
right.
like, man, I cannot get going.
Like, wait a minute. Right. Like, am I ever gonna catch up on my sleep? Am I ever gonna feel not tired? You know, and that messes with your head.
Yeah, it's certainly a contributing factor because, like I said, I mean, I get to work and I'm just, golly, I could go back to bed. I really could go home and go back to bed for
yeah.
like 3 hours.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I hear you.
And I cannot be alone.
I'm like, yeah, I'm sick, but I can't because the nature
mm.
of my work. You know, I have
mm.
to. You know, I have to see the clients.
Well, yeah, people are counting on
you. But yeah, and the people are like, you know, people are like, when am I gonna catch up? When am I gonna be able to be like, okay, I'm rested? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Do you think it's as much as a conscious effort to offload some things and say, look, I have to start saying no to things so I can take care of myself and I can sleep more? Or
I think that's the concept that a lot of people struggle with because you don't want to feel guilty, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's perfectly okay. That's something that we're learning more now. Perfectly okay to say, you know what, no, to not say no to things and be able to stay in and rest. It's perfectly okay. We're learning that concept, but a lot of people
mm-hmm.
feel guilty doing that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're able-bodied and
mm-hmm.
you can do all this stuff, you might as well do it while you can. That's my idea. And then think, oh, wait a minute. No, I'm
mm-hmm.
exhausted. I am absolutely exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, lately I've been coming home. I maybe eat some dinner and I look at my husband and I'm like, I'm going to bed. It's 7 o'clock at night. I'm like, I'm going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a cooked turkey here. I'm just done.
Right.
And I go,
right.
I kind of power down for an hour and a half, and I am out cold
mm-hmm.
by 9:30.
Mm-hmm. And again, and right now, that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. But it messes with people's head because you're saying like, okay, you know, am I falling into a depression, right? I'm supposed to be more active. And if you do that, then you know, I'm not doing all the things that I'm supposed to be doing. But no, right now, that's not the time. One of the biggest, you know, I was reading people were pushing on social media like, well, you know, during the pandemic, you know, if you haven't improved your life, you know, if you've been home this whole time, right, and you have all this extra time, if you didn't improve your life, then you don't really want it, right, because you have all this free time. And that was so wrong. That was so wrong because a lot of people came out of the pandemic thinking like, oh, I just wasted a year. No. These were not normal times. You know, if you made it through, that's enough.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
okay.
feel,
this,
yeah,
this were,
I,
these were not normal times. This wasn't a time for you to, you know, work on yourself and try to improve your life and all that. If you did, more power to you. But if you didn't, there's nothing to feel guilty about.
Yeah.
There's nothing to feel guilty about. We just had to get through it. That's it. But a lot of people, again, you know, they feel like, you know, if you didn't come out of this pandemic with learning something different, something new, then you failed, and that's wrong. That's wrong.
Well, it's good to hear because I thought, oh, gee, you know, maybe this is my opportunity to like start learning to play the guitar or. You know, clean up
mm-hmm.
my sewing room and make a couple of projects that I've been thinking about. And I haven't done a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have done nothing
mm-hmm.
but work and eat
right.
and try and keep my house clean, which I can't do because I'm exhausted. And now puppies.
Right.
And it's just like, well,
mm-hmm.
if you want an accomplishment, I have a beautiful litter of Labradors. How about that?
That's a lot of work. That's unfortunate. That's how we measure success. That's how we measure that we're doing. I have to accomplish something, right? Mm-hmm. We put our emotional well-being on the fact that what happens if you didn't accomplish? Then you're not allowed to feel good about yourself, right? And what happens if right. that accomplishment goes away? Then what? Then now you're back to zero. Mm-hmm. Right? We need to get away from that.
Right.
The whole thing the only way I feel good about myself is that I accomplish something. I get it. That's an easy way because you accomplish it. You're like, whoo, okay, I proved something, right? I did something.
Right.
But so what happened to all the people that are, you know, in bed with an illness in a hospital, right? What mm-hmm. happened to them? They're not allowed to feel good about themselves because they couldn't accomplish something different. Right. And as a culture, we need to get away from that. You know, we need to stop. I was teaching in my class. We talked about addiction and attachment. When you attach your emotional well-being, right, to something.
Mm-mm. Oh, boy. Here we go.
Right? when you attach it to something, whether, you know, have you heard people say, like, if I had money, I would be happy. If I didn't have this, I would be happy, right? If this didn't happen. So we are attaching our emotional well-being to something outside. When you do that, then you're going to be miserable all your life because nothing is permanent. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Yeah. I can grasp on that to that whole idea and embrace it because, you know, I'm not 18 anymore. I can't do the things I used to be able to do because of various reasons. And I'm getting older and it's like, okay, you know mm-hmm. That's fine. That's just the way it is right now. But I've done a lot mm-hmm. in almost 60 years. And, you know, if you want an accomplishment, I started a podcast mm-hmm. in the middle of a pandemic, and it's kind of cool. Right. You know, that kind of thing. But you have to bring all these experiences with you and look at the accomplishments. And I'm the person I am today because of them.
That your emotional well-being, your happiness has to come from inside of you. When you're being at peace with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? No, with the fact that you have to accomplish it, because then you're always going to be miserable. You're always going to be chasing the next thing, and honestly, you're never going to be happy. If you put your emotional well-being, your happiness on a degree, or a car, or a house, right? But I get it. As a society, we celebrate those things. You know, when there's how about a new house? Everybody, yeah, wow, congratulations, and that makes you feel good. But if you tell somebody, I'm at peace with myself.
They're going to go, what?
People are like, so? People are going to be like, so? Good for you. What?
It's true. It's true.
We don't celebrate this thing. So,
but the inner peace thing is what I've been working on. So I do feel better about myself.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Being happy where you are. I just saw this video about this monks. And I mean, the concept is so I love the concept that they do this. They spend weeks doing this using sand, like with color, to make this beautiful. What is it called? Mangala, I think it's called mangala.
Mandala, yeah, the mandala.
Mandalas, right? And sometimes it takes them 2-3 weeks to make them, right? And then what do you think they do as soon when they're finished?
They destroy it.
They destroy it. They sweep it off.
Mm.
Okay. To show, to make the point that the happiness wasn't on, oh, I'm seeing this mandala, beautiful thing. That's not where the happiness comes in. The happiness to them is the process. The fact that they were mm-hmm. present in the moment and they made it. They did it. And they sweep it off to show that nothing is permanent. So their happiness doesn't become dependent on, look, everybody, I made this amazing mandala. Everybody, look at it. Let me show everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where their happiness comes from. Their happiness comes from they went through the process.
Mm.
Every day that they work on it, they were present. It wasn't the end goal. You know, we as a culture, we are very goal-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
If I need to accomplish that, accomplish this, buy that. we're very goal oriented, and when we totally get lost in the process.
Yeah, got to have this, got to have the house, got to have the big job, got to have the new car, got to have all the stuff.
And I have to get the high paying job, right? I know them, people that they literally work themselves so hard, and they miss so many times with their kids. And their justification, again, they believe that. They're like, well, I have to provide for my kids. And trust me, the relationship with their kids is like, wow. Like, the kids could care less. You know, the kids love their parents, but they're like, okay, well, where were you all those times,
mm-hmm.
you know, on my event? You were working
mm-hmm.
or you were doing something
mm-hmm.
else. You know.
Yeah, I believe that.
Unfortunately, that's the culture that we celebrate. We celebrate the and you know the person that works himself to death, but was never present for the kids. And don't get me wrong, you have to work to provide for your family. That's a fact.
Right.
You know, if you're working to provide for your family, wonderful. I applaud you because that's what we need to do as parents, right? We have to provide, but at what point is enough? At what point are you sacrificing work or time with your kids? Where is that line? Are you buying that two-story house for your kids, or are you buying it because you want to feel good about yourself that you bought that for your kids?
Mhm. Yep. I was just going to say, but providing what for them? Your idea of material wealth, or
right.
providing
mm-hmm.
them with the essentials and then being present enough to participate
mm-hmm.
in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because memories will always be a stronger factor than things. I mean, I can't tell you Christmas when I was 12 years old, but I can also tell you that, you know, my parents were both there and we had a good Christmas. But I couldn't tell
mm-hmm.
you what I got as presents.
I do that exercise all the time with my clients. I'm like, tell me about your happiest memory. And I rarely get a toy or, you know, or something material. No. People always go, remember that time I went. I remember the time we did this.
Mm-hmm.
It always starts like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I think experiences are more valuable than things.
Sure. But again, we don't celebrate that. Culture.
Mm.
We celebrate materialistic things. We attach our happiness to materialistic things that get taken away. And then when they get taken away, we fall apart. We're not happy
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Well, and you can't take it with you. I mean.
Right. So, see, but that's the thing. Logically, we know that. Right, everybody knows that. Yeah, because you hear people say that all the time. Logically, don't be the richest person in the cemetery. Right, you cannot take it with you.
Right.
We heard all those things. You know, I never seen. You know, I never seen a herd towing a money truck. Right.
Right.
But we know that. But then, why don't we act on it? Because I go back to us, we live in a culture that doesn't celebrate that.
It's true.
We're trying to. We do after the fact, right? We celebrate the person that buys things. We celebrate the person that has the cars and the trips and, you know, and the jewelry. We celebrate that. I mean, that's social media for you. And then you have young kids saying, oh, I want that. I want the expensive watches and the cars and the shoes and the clothes. And if I don't have that, then I fail.
Mm.
Or, you know, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be, we'll say, oh, you're going to be the first millionaire in your family. Really? Okay. And that's going to make you happy? At what expense?
Well, it's supposed to make you happy. That's the thing. We've been sold a bill of goods that, all of this stuff will
right.
make you happy.
Right. Yeah.
When, in fact, it's the opposite.
When it doesn't, then there you are. And then you're not happy. So, So going back to, you know, the point that I was making, that if you went through this whole pandemic and you didn't learn a single new thing, it's totally okay. It's perfectly okay. You're not supposed to come out of this pandemic reinvented or, you know, or learn nothing new. No. That was never the intention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you made it through, wonderful. It means you stayed healthy or somehow you didn't catch the virus, and I'm couldn't be happier for you. And that should be enough to be happy.
Right, right. Yeah, that's kind of the goal for me, is to just stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, keep my sanity and somewhat about me.
Right. So yeah. So, and then also, again, accepting the fact that we're never going to go back to the old. You know, I heard a couple people already telling me, you know, like, oh, I feel weird because I don't laugh at the same things I used to laugh. You know, it caught them off guard. They didn't know what to do with that. They're sitting there like, I don't know why, because I don't laugh at the same things. And I said, you're absolutely right. The things are never going to be the same. We cannot go back to that. We change. Going through this process has changed us. And so we have to look for new things, right? Find purpose. Find new things to bring joy. And if you go able to look back and find all things that are good for you, that's awesome. That's wonderful. Right? That's wonderful. But if it doesn't, if you look back and some of the things that used to make you laugh don't make you laugh anymore, that's okay. We're evolving. We're changing. We're growing. And so we start to find new things to make us happy now.
Simpler things.
Getting out of your comfort. I'm sorry?
Simpler things. Things that are just more simple
Whatever works for you. Yeah, whatever works for you, you know. Find, you know, your happiness inside. But it, again, it's letting go. Letting go of the old. Letting go of what it used to be. People are struggling with that.
Well, and I think that one part of my burden is that, you know, I do listen to the news a lot, and I do get affected by all of this stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, the two most recent, well, there's one in Chicago, which is kind of close to me, but, you know, the two high-profile police involvement shootings are in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
They're in my town. You know, they're
right.
15 miles apart up in the cities. And it's just like, oh, my
mm-hmm.
God. It's in my front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And do I have to engage in that? Do I really have to take a stand? No, I don't.
No, you don't. Right, you don't. You don't. I mean, you can feel for them. Okay. You can. You don't have to take it upon you, right? Take it
right.
on you.
I don't have to pick up that mantle and run down the street with it. I really don't.
Exactly, but you can feel for them for sure. You can really feel for them and feel sorry for, you know, for everybody involved, for the families and you know, everybody involved.
It's tragic.
But you don't have
it's
to.
All just...
You don't have to take it on yourself.
Right, and that's good because I don't have much left. I just don't.
I just can't. You.
And I'm not going to feel guilty about it. I'm not going to. I mean, if I'm wiped out, I am of no use to my friends and family. So I've got to take care of myself first. I really do. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to apologize, but I'm going to take care of myself first and power down and step
mm-hmm.
back and get more rest and
mm-hmm.
try and take better
mm-hmm.
care of myself so I can be available for some people at certain points. But I don't have to be 100%
mm-hmm.
on 100% of the time. I can't. I
right.
can't do that.
Right.
Oh, dear
God. We need to learn to do that without feeling guilty about it.
Oh, I don't feel guilty about it. I really don't. Because I just like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all on your own.
Yep. Right.
If you want to get into that mess, that's fine. I can watch from here and I can go to bed. I'm not gonna feel guilty about it. I won't do it.
Right.
No,
right.
Do it.
Well, you can only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So to everybody out there, you know, to people listening, this is not the time. You know, this is the time this is the time to take care of yourself. You know, if you're able to be there for somebody else, wonderful. Do it. You know, support somebody else. Be there for somebody else. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Right? Do that. But you cannot you cannot pour from an empty cup. You can't.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And this is the time to continue to work on yourself and try to look inside of you. Right now, internal peace is a new wealth.
Okay?
Internal peace is a new wealth.
So try and shield yourself from the vicarious trauma.
Correct. Exactly. And if you have to shut down from social media, if you have to shut down from the news, that's what you need to do. And that's okay. Perfectly okay.
Mm-hmm.
To do that.
No, that's good. Because that's what I've been doing. Been
yeah.
Powering down a little bit more.
Yeah, I had to. I just, you know, I just... Even like when you know I'm working from home and then I come out to eat and I see the news and my parents are you know like oh do you what happened with this you know, oh do you hear about that I'm like I listen to that all day mom you know that I don't want to hear it I tell them I know to you guys it's major because you heard about one case I tell them I hear about it all day
right
so no I don't want to hear about one more case. You know, this is, and I have to. So when I eat, I turn it off or I watch something very funny because I need to do that.
Right. Yeah. I like
and
comedy.
And I'm not going to feel guilty about it. Okay?
No. Yeah, I agree.
All right, my friend. So continue taking care of yourself. Continue taking, what you're feeling is real. I think what you're feeling is most of the population is feeling it. Okay.
I agree.
To our listeners out there, please take care of yourselves. Take care of yourselves. Whatever you need to do, you know, you need to take care of yourselves and stop feeling guilty because you haven't done all the other things that you wish. You know, this I get it. This will pass. We know that. Okay. Things are gonna settle down eventually. We know that. But until we get there, right now, we just have to continue taking care of ourselves.
I agree. I absolutely wholeheartedly agree. I think that's the prescription of the day. And hug a dog.
Okay.
Right, Dixie. Yeah, good girl.
All right, my dear friend. Well, as always, love talking to you. Take care of yourself.
Yes. I will do that. You as well.
Yeah, I'll talk to you next week.
Okie doke. Sounds good.
Oh, wonderful. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to I'm Not That Old, Lady. I really appreciate your time and giving me your insights and letting me know how we're doing. I found this segment to be really insightful, and I'm not opposed to looking at things in, you know, the cold light of day. I'm really not. Oof, you got to be careful of what you're looking at, but I think I'm making some progress. Didn't intend to have this podcast all about my parents because I think a lot of people are dealing with their parents aging and their own aging or their children's struggles and stripes. And I think we are where we are and with life so busy and COVID and the pressures of society, we're all dealing with some stuff and we need to kind of rely on each other. So thank you for your time and thank you for letting me know how you feel about the podcast. And please keep subscribing and telling people about it and giving me emails. I really enjoy those. And that can be done at imnotthatoldlady@yahoo.com. And we will look forward to the next episodes. Take care.